QBS Archangel. Bethany Ann had checked the loadout on her Black Eagle, making sure she and her team had plenty of pucks, including a pair of new 10-pounders. Asher had jumped into the back without any help and chuffed to her as she walked around inside the pod.
Yes, we're leaving, you impatient god of war. Yeah, I should never have told you the meaning of your name.
She looked around and saw her guys were closing their canopies, except for John, who was watching her. She winked at him and jumped up and over to land in her seat. John smiled and shook his head as his canopy closed. Bethany and jumped on the comm.
This is Black Eagle 1 to Archangel. Permission to leave?
This is Archangel, Black Eagle 1. I have modified the shield. You are clear to leave.
Jeffrey's people had finally figured out how to adjust the gravity to allow ships to make their way through the shield without sucking the atmosphere out of the bay. The pods had to leave slowly, no more than 5 miles an hour right now, but it beat the hell out of how they had to deal with it previously. 5 ships left the Archangel and turned down toward the beautiful blue globe. TQB Base, Australia. Lance chewed on his cigar and thought about the 3 operations now in play. He couldn't help the Archangel, as he couldn't catch up if he wanted to. Plus, Adam's computer team didn't need to be placed in harm's way. It wasn't appropriate. He stabbed the intercom button on his speakerphone.
Patricia?
Yes, dear?
I have a favor to ask.
A handful of years ago, this would never have occurred to him. But now his future was tied. He couldn't take risks on a whim or an urge.
Yes?
I'm gonna go with Akio and the 10 Vexel Bog.
Understood. I'll take care of the base with Adam and the team. Go kick some ass, sweetheart.
Lance looked down at the speakerphone, not sure what to say.
Go! I can imagine you looking at the phone, not believing your ears. If you think for 2 seconds I didn't know I married a military man through and through, you aren't crediting me with enough common sense. I married all of you, even this part. I've got your back, Lance.
And I've got yours, Patricia. Take care of Adam's team, okay?
Hell yes, I will. I've got Adam talking with me. We've got this. You take care of Dan's contact. Gabrielle has the space station, and Bethany Ann will be fine. Hell, when is she not? Go kick some ass for me.
Baby, I'll kick it all the way to hell and back out the other side, I promise. Just tell me when, all right?
I'll remember that, Lance Reynolds. I'll have a long time to cash in that marker. Go.
Gone.
Lance released the button for the last time and started unbuttoning his shirt and stripped it off as he left his office, double-timing it down the hall. His eyes grew darker, and those that witnessed their base commander as he made his way to the armory stood clear. Most had heard of his legendary anger and played it off as overblown. They had never witnessed Lance Reynolds truly pissed. Now, he seemed beyond pissed. He seemed deadly. And some now understood where their infamous queen inherited her don't fuck with me face. Like father, like daughter. 5 minutes later, Lance Reynolds jumped on the transport as it started to lift with Akio and 10 Vexel Bulk. The Japanese vampire nodded to the base commander. 2 Vexel Bulk closed the doors. The teams had modified some of the gravitic cargo containers. With Jeffrey's assistance, they changed the engines and put an extra one on the front to adjust the airstream around them. There were 15 seats along both sides of the containers with 5-point belt harnesses. Lance sat on one end, Akio sat next to him, both locked in.
Hold on, Terry. Death is coming for a visit.
Bethany Ann, China has moved up their time frame.
Shit! How much time do we have?
Their ETA is 26 minutes.
Boys, punch it. China kicked off their party early. The impatient bastards are trying to take away my retribution.
Sure we can't let them take some hits first? That shit could be funny as hell.
Not taking the chance, Scott. However, there is no need for us to hit anyone who isn't in our way. I want Stephanie Lee, and we need to confirm if there are any Kertherians or Kertherian artifacts. All we need is China getting hold of the technology.
The team entered the atmosphere at the top of Australia, angled north by northwest. Those in northern Australia, Indonesia, Malaysia, southern Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, and southern China were all witness to 5 meteorites streaking across the sky. Shortly, there was video footage all over the internet.
2 minutes to arrival. You will have 12 minutes without any interference.
Understood, Adam.
Incoming. Gabrielle is passing along information. Space Station 1 is under attack. Archangel has broken orbit and is outbound to support. ETA is 9 minutes. One of Dan's contacts is under imminent attack in Syria and has requested support.
Damn it! So close!
She was about to call out the command to head toward Syria when her father came over the speaker.
Bethany Ann, Akio and I, and a group of Guardians are heading to Syria. ETA is really, really soon. We got this. Stay the course.
Bethany Ann's eyes teared, but she held them back.
Understood. But if the COO gets hurt, I'm not protecting him from his wife.
Got that covered. Permission already granted.
Seriously?
Do you need me to get her on the call?
No. It's just...
Hey, she knows what she married. She no more wants to change that than I want to change her. Plus, I figure she thinks Akio and the Guardians are with me. So what the hell am I gonna do?
Bethany Ann, the President is calling.
God for damned, when it rained, it poured.
Got to go, Dad. President's on the other line.
Lance out.
This is Bethany Ann.
I'm sorry to bug you, Bethany Ann, but I have an embarrassing favor to ask.
Shoot. But you have 45 seconds before I have to clear the line.
Okay, I'm told I have 23 people in a firefight in Syria, and we can't get anyone there to help quickly enough. Could I possibly request support?
Yes, we're handling it. I'll let you know what happened in an hour.
Bethany Ann could see the mountains they were heading for.
Anything else?
How fast can they be there?
Fast. 10 minutes or less. Sorry, Mr. President. Have to go. Adam, tell my dad they have officially been asked to help by the President of the United States. See if you can route a message to Dan's contact if he hasn't divulged his connection to us yet, and make sure the box isn't used unless needed.
Space Station 1, L2. Coach grabbed a quarterstaff. He wasn't any good with bladed weapons, and the idea of using something like a long bat appealed to his sense of mayhem. The team already thought about and disregarded the riot weapons they had on station. He made his way through another group of Vexelball, who were busy moving in and out of the room. Coach had just entered the hallway when life went upside down.
We have orders in sections 12-4, 12-5, 30-2, and 30-3.
Coach could hear Penn over the loudspeakers as he headed toward the breach area. He heard the suction of vacuum pulling air out of the hole for a second, arms blasting up and down the hallway. Coach put on his helmet and locked it in, moving forward. He hit the button to allow his voice to be heard outside of his suit. He noticed Adarsh had also put on his helmet, and maybe a third of the Vexelbalk had gone to get into suits. They would suit up first, then allow those risking asphyxiation right now a chance to get a suit, if they had time. The nose of the craft that had rammed them dropped, and then one of the aliens dropped in.
Move out of my cot for Tom's way!
Batter up!
EI, give me Archangel direct.
This is Gabrielle. I received the update from SS1, and we are moving to break orbit. ETA 10 minutes, Pen.
Gabrielle, we've been holed in 4 places. Aliens have sealed the holes at this time. 45% of our personnel have reached protected containers, and we should hit 80% in 1 minute 15. We have eyes on 10 enemies so far. Pictures will follow as well, and video will be streamed live.
Pen, you guys better hold for 10 minutes or I will kick all of your goddamned asses.
Ha! I understand Bethany Ann is on another mission, so are you trying on your Bethany Ann speech?
Hell no, this is my Gabrielle speech. You know shit goes downhill, so if you guys go down when I am in command, Bethany Ann is going to kick my ass, and I'll be there to kick yours.
Understood, Gabrielle. But since I might not have a chance to say this in 10 minutes, you aren't mean enough to pull off Bethany Ann. Gotta go, Archangel. We have 2 unfriendlies trying to get in our external airlocks.
Kick ass, Space Station 1. That is an order from the Queen Bitch herself.
Understood, Archangel. I'll relay that personally.
Syria. Terry opened his eyes when he heard the crunch of gravel. He was wide awake when Robert came around the boulder where he was hiding out, listening in the night.
Terry, the government wag says they'll be here in an hour.
What? He's finally accepting the fact that we have visitors?
Yes, and as you might imagine, he is not too happy with the fact that we have no backup.
Do you want me to tell him I told you so? You know I already have a bad reputation for running at the mouth.
Terry stood up and dusted his pants off.
No, let's try to make this a new and improved Terry, shall we?
Terry followed Robert as they walked toward the government wag's tent. After a 2-minute meeting, Robert and Terry left the tent heading toward the rest of the team. Robert got his people to help everybody get up and move into the pits. Terry went toward Melissa, looking forward to seeing her while she still might have some respect for him. At that moment, he was proudest that he remembered to buy her chocolate chip cookies before they went on this operation. Melissa woke up to the gentle pushing on her arm.
What is it? Why can't I go get the ice cream?
Probably because the nearest freezer is hundreds of kilometers in God only knows which direction. And I doubt you'd like the flavor anyway.
Melissa's eyes opened. She wasn't expecting a man's voice in her dream. She focused on Terry looking down at her and caught the concern.
What is it?
Remember all of my worries about the government leaving us out here high and dry?
She nodded, quickly understanding his thought process.
Well, I need you to make sure you have everything you need and get down into the pit. Don't forget water, anything that you can grab, definitely any lights and communication devices. Should you need to drop the opening, someone might be able to dig you out.
Melissa scrambled out of her sleeping bag, not worrying that she was in what amounted to a bikini. She started getting her clothes on.
Aren't you going to be with us?
No. I need to be upstairs with the guys trying to stop them from getting to you. If we could do that, then you won't have to worry about suffocating.
She looked at him as she buttoned her shorts.
You really don't have a good bedside manner. You know that, right?
I can always blow smoke up your ass if you would prefer, Melissa. But just remember that I did bring you chocolate chip cookies. That should be worth something.
Shit. Where is it?
She dropped to her knees and reached under her sleeping bag to pull out half a bag of cookies.
Damn. If I had known I might have to deal with this crap this morning, I might have decided to eat them all. Oh well. Now at least I'll be able to console myself with chocolate.
She turned around and handed him the cookies.
Hold these, please. And if you want to keep your privates, don't you eat one of them.
She stood up and grabbed her Glock pistol, checking the load and slotting it into a holster. She grabbed a bag full of clothes and other items, then her laptop, tossing it into the bag and zipping it up. She reached for the bag of cookies which Terry handed her and walked out of her tent. He followed her into the night.
TH?
Yes?
Be safe, okay?
Terry put two fingers to his forehead and saluted her with a smile. Then he walked off in the other direction toward Robert. Melissa, watching him go, wondered if she would ever see him alive again. She turned and headed toward the excavation. She knew what she was good at, and knew what she was not. She wasn't stupid enough to try to be on the front lines, but if any assholes were dumb enough to stick their heads within 30 feet of her, she damn well would do her best to give them a splitting headache. She pulled one bullet out of the magazine and slipped it into her pocket. No one was taking her alive. Terry was off to one side by himself when he felt a buzzing in his pocket. He pulled out the phone and looked at it, surprised. He had received a text.
Help incoming, 6 minutes. President of U.S. has requested assistance. Leave container closed if possible.
He slipped the phone back in his pocket, his smile emerging, his worries abating.
News?
Terry noticed Robert's men, the 6 nearest them, were now looking at him.
Yeah.
Terry looked up into the early morning darkness.
We're going to have visitors, the good kind. From what I know about them, don't have a friendly fire incident. They won't appreciate that shit. We have to hold for 5 more minutes, and then we probably need to pull back into the pit ourselves.
What the hell is coming? An AC-130 Spectre?
No, probably better. Well, let's call it more unique. The president has called in a favor for us.
Terry looked at those nearest him and grimaced.
Sorry, guys. I probably shouldn't have let that slip. Can you guys do me a solid and not mention that part about the president? I don't know if this is for public consumption. If anyone has questions, point at me until we get the word you can say that, okay? I've got the reputation.
He got 7 nods. Robert surreptitiously winked at him. Terry smiled and looked away. It felt good to be a part of the team again. He had missed it over the years. Now his ability to think clearly was getting better.
5 minutes?
Yeah, count on it.
Let's get going.
Everyone pulled in and put up as much rock around them as they could, being careful to try to minimize ricochet concerns.
Then, the seconds started counting down. Hamza bent over, moving to the top of the small outcropping, tapping Yasin on his shoulder.
The dogs were notified. Their camp is too empty.
Yasin looked up to the sky.
That is acceptable. As long as they do not have the drones, then the ending is just drawn out. They have no air support. They can't hide from our bullets for long. Besides, you wanted the chance to stay here tonight.
Yes, I did. I see tents and other soft materials down there. I imagine I can grab something that will make the trip back not hurt so much.
They heard the first crack that signaled they could start their own attacks. Hamza stroked the trigger of his AK-47. Maybe he would get lucky and get a headshot and be able to enjoy the memory of an American head exploding from his bullet. If not, no worries. He would shoot their bodies later. Right after they took care of the women. The bullets started raining.
Well, fuck!
Terry looked down at his watch.
Why couldn't they wait another 45 seconds? Camel ass licking zealot psychopaths are absolutely off my list for Christmas party invitations.
45 seconds! Don't let them hit your ass or I'm gonna shoot you as well! I want every one of you useless, godforsaken, mullet-wearing geeks walking out here! Light them up, people!
Melissa heard the crack of the first shots. The smell of fear was rife inside the hot, stinky cave. She reached into her pocket and pulled the single round out.
Fuck it.
She dropped the magazine on her Glock and put it back after placing the last round back in the mag. If she had to kill every one of those fuckers by hand, then she would try to do that. She wasn't taking a coward's way out. Lance was looking at his tablet, seeing the feed from beneath them.
Adam, drop us here after the puck strike.
He marked his tablet. He felt the container descend as he slid the small tablet into a pocket.
Okay, listen up. We're dropping behind them. You need to mop them up as fast as possible when I give the word. I will give you that command after we hit them with a couple of pucks to blow sand and dirt up in the air to confuse the hell out of them. Make damn sure you kill the right people.
Akio unclipped and walked to a 4-foot-tall metal box welded to the wall. He took the cotter pin off the latch and opened the box. He grabbed 2 1-pound pucks and closed the box. Lance nodded to the 2 guardians across from him.
Open the right door.
The guy on the left, Jim, unclipped and reached to unhook the door. His partner grabbed Jim's arm and reached to catch the bar above the seats. Jim opened the door and Akio walked over and tossed the 2 pucks out. The door closed.
Send them down, Adam. After the pucks hit, take us down all the way.
3 seconds later, 2 loud explosions came from behind the ridge where the attackers, who had them pinned down, were firing.
What the fuck was that?
That would be the help arriving for a little party, I think.
Shut it down, guys! Don't fire unless you know damn sure you got a solid target in your sights.
Melissa felt the 2 loud crumps and some dust dropped from the ceiling. Shit, now she was worried about a cave-in. She might not have to worry about torture if she got buried alive first. That damn Terry, when she got out of here and saw him again, she was going to give him a piece of her mind right after she kissed him. Yasin ducked in reflex when the ground shook beneath him. A second hit, and he was tossed from an area between 2 boulders to the sand below, scraping his knuckles and knees pretty badly.
What's going on?
They both heard men choking as the dust and dirt from the explosions filled the air. Yasin and Hamza quickly grabbed their shirts and covered their noses and mouths. Yasin looked around, trying to figure out where the next attack might come from. He didn't hear a plane, and there were no more explosions. The 2 of them stood back to back, Hamza looking toward the Americans, and Yasin looking behind them. Because Yasin was looking behind them, he was the only one who saw the man with the red eyes suddenly appear in front of him, stabbing Yasin through his chest. From behind, Hamza felt incredible pain. He looked down to see 6 inches of a sword sticking out of his chest.
Yasin!
Akio pulled the sword out of the 2 men in front of him. He heard another three to his left, but Guardians were coming up that side, and he figured they would take care of them. He smiled at the confusion around him. This is what his queen would want, and he was very focused on accomplishing what she willed. Akio heard a voice in his ear.
Now, Akio.
Akio focused. The red in his eyes flashed, and then he could feel the power radiate from him. Sand and dirt had pelted Robert and his men. Then the fear hit. Not any fear, but a miasma of emotion that had Robert fighting the urge to run. He looked at Terry, who was in the same battle himself.
What the hell, man?
Hell indeed. Tell everyone not to fucking fire, because sure as shit, that will not go over well.
Do not fire! Do not fire! Weapons down and fight the urge to run! Terry, fucking give it to me straight. Who the hell is over there?
Terry just shook his head. Some things he'd learned, you had to keep to yourself.
Release, Akio!
Akio's eyes dimmed, leaving only a small amount of red in them. He felt drained, but good. The dust was clearing, and he saw men walking through the dimness of the still dusty dawnlight. They were all Guardians. Akio turned as he heard another man come up the hill and approach him. Lance held out his hand, and Akio took it.
Damn fine job, Akio. Damned fine job.
He looked around.
Guardians, lean up. I'll be back in a minute.
Lance nodded for Akio to join him. Akio cleaned his sword and put it away in his scabbard, carrying the scabbard in his left hand for easy access. Akio carefully watched for anyone who might offer the Queen's father any violence. Robert's fear miraculously ceased.
Fuck me.
He heard more than one man collapse to the ground around him. When he got his wits back, Robert listened but heard nothing from over the hill. He doubted there was anyone over there alive, except the good guys.
Robert!
Robert turned and saw Terry pointing. He turned back to see two men coming around the side of the hill.
Is that a fucking sword?
Can it, people?
Robert nodded for Terry to join him as he stepped out from his firing position. He looked down at his rifle and decided to leave it. Terry joined him, unarmed as well, and they started walking toward the two coming down the hill.
Give me a hint, buddy. Two syllables or fucking something.
TQB.
Robert closed his eyes for a second. Of course it would be fucking TQB because the man upstairs had an outstanding sense of humor.
Didn't you say the president called this in?
Yep.
That all you've got to say?
Terry fished his phone out of his pocket, stuck a finger over part of the screen, and showed Robert the text.
Help incoming, 6 minutes. President of U.S. has requested assistance. Fuck.
Robert looked to his friend, who nodded his head minutely. Ace in the hole indeed. Seconds later, Robert held out his hand as the two men joined them.
Sir, Robert Martell, security.
The American-looking man held out his hand.
General Lance Reynolds, U.S. Army, retired. Damn fine job you did keeping your cool.
Robert shook the man's hand and couldn't stop his mind from thinking.
Isn't TQB COO named Lance Reynolds?
Terry watched the man behind the general and noticed his eyes constantly flicking around, taking everything in. He was dressed in Japanese-style clothes. They looked like a cross between something a samurai or a ninja might wear, mixed with today's latest sandpit fashions. His right arm had a patch sporting a white fanged skull on a red background. He had blood spatter on him, so he was using that sword for more than just show. Terry's eyes drifted back to the patch, trying to remember where he had seen it before. He remembered. It was sported by those who protected the head of TQB. Terry decided to take his own advice and make sure he minded his P's and Q's. He heard some commotion behind him, so he turned around and saw Robert's men helping people out of the pit. The government wag was walking in this direction, and he saw Melissa being helped up a ladder. Terry turned to Robert and Lance.
Excuse me, I've got to check on someone, and you guys have incoming.
Robert turned around to see the government guy heading in their direction. Terry patted Robert's back in sympathy as he stepped back toward the pit. Terry wasn't out of earshot when he heard the government guy start in on Lance.
What were you thinking when you dropped bombs right over our heads?
If Terry didn't feel the need to check on Melissa, he would like to have heard the general's response to this prick. Melissa, however, did have his attention, and she was heading in his direction.
You come out okay?
She nodded mutely and his face clouded up with worry, he started looking for injuries. When he got to her, she grabbed his face in both hands and searched his eyes, then stood on her tiptoes and kissed him. She dropped back down and stared into his shocked-looking face.
I'm still undecided on whether to slap you, so don't push it.
What the hell did I do that would deserve being slapped?
He was still working out the sum of her words, her tone, and her actions. The math just wasn't calculating out for him.
You could have been shot.
As if that settled the conversation. He leaned in.
You could have suffocated.
I was hidden. You were out here.
He pointed to the shelter with rocks pulled around it.
No, I was in there, where it was harder to hit me. I wasn't doing jumping jacks out here with a target on my ass.
Still, I couldn't see you.
She glared at him to refute her comment. He pointed behind him at what was left of the enemy's rock outcropping.
Neither could they.
She looked and realized how close the enemy had been.
Do you have any idea how much you confuse me?
Confuse you? I'm a pretty simple guy here.
He pointed up and down his body.
Give me a clue what is confusing with this package, why don't you?
She took a step forward, crowding his personal space. Her finger stabbed him with every comment.
You are smart. You are good-looking. You are military.
This time, her finger barely poked him, and her eyes teared up. Her head dropped to his chest.
And I like you.
Terry hesitated, then put his arms around her.
What's wrong with that?
I don't like military men. They're dumb, they're ugly, they like to shoot people and blow things up, and they're full of assholiest.
She shook her head against his chest.
God, what am I gonna do? I just poured out my heart like that, and I have no idea if you even like me or not.
Damn, for an intellectual, it could be pretty dense at times. How many men carry a present of chocolate chip cookies halfway around the world so he could surprise a woman they don't care about?
Melissa pulled back and looked up at him.
You do care about me?
Yes, Melissa. I care about you. I worried about you. I'm not about to let some irrationally irritated Islamic idiots shoot up the first woman I could have a conversation with that didn't start with Kim Kardashian or end with, I know, right?
She wiped the tears from her cheeks. Her eyes were large and beautiful.
You know, I'm gonna slap you, right?
What? Oh!
By the time Robert and four of his men turned toward the sound, they only saw the lady academic putting a hell of a lip lock on Terry, who didn't seem to be trying to struggle out of it. He shrugged and returned to the conversation at hand.
You will answer
the government wag who had started his bitching finally wound down his tirade.
Well?
Well what? Well, do I give a shit about anything you just said? Not one bit. I'm not in your chain of command, and as far as I care, you are an adult.
He jerked his thumb toward the attacker's hiding place.
I've been tasked with making sure those idiots didn't shoot your asses. Mission accomplished. We're taking anyone who would like to leave out of here. You're welcome to grab some equipment, but there are 12 of us and 23 of you, right?
Yes.
And one more container available for stuff. We have 30 seats we can strap people into, so we're short 5 places. If you want to stay here, we'll be short one less.
Lance looked around.
We're lifting in 30 minutes.
He started walking back toward the hill. Robert saw the government wag begin to reach out to grab the general's shoulder. The silent guard stepped forward, grabbing the outstretched hand and twisting it. Before you could say, ouch, the government guy was on his knees, and the general turned to look at the wag.
Akio, don't stain your sword with his bureaucratic blood. That shit doesn't come out. I'll have a guard shoot him. That way the blood doesn't stain anything.
Akio let go of the man who was staring, mouth open, at the general's back as he walked away. Robert looked down at the wag.
Don't say one word. He doesn't work for the United States. The president asked for their help. If he comes home with 22 people instead of 23, well, that's 22 more than the president could have reasonably hoped to have after your monumental fuck-up.
He left the man kneeling in the dirt. Robert noticed that Terry had a slap mark on his face and smiled.
25 minutes, people! The bus is leaving in 25 minutes! If you aren't ready, you're walking. Let's go!
Above the clan temple near Shenongjia Peak, Hubei. The mountains, not as tall as she would have expected, were beautiful. Well, what she could see of them. China was a gorgeous country. Shame it had some real asshats running it. Although she had to admit, China really didn't corner the market on asshats in government. Adam's voice came over the team's comm.
We are 20 seconds from landing. Do you have a preference where to set down?
My preference is not at the bottom where we have to fight our way up. I've seen the movies. They'll just empty the damn school and hundreds of really pissed off, splendid martial arts fanatics will come running out and it's gonna suck. No thanks.
Pussy.
My brother from another mother just volunteered to go first.
Hey now, let's not be losing the feeling of all for one and one for all before we even start.
Adam, Tom, set us down over there at the main door. Guys, we'll need to run through the place pretty hard. This is a quick in and out. Figure out if there is something here we need, kill the bitch, and split before we get stuck with the military. Not necessarily in that order.
The five Black Eagles dropped to within 20 feet of a clear area near the temple entrance. She popped the hatch and looked over the side.
Asher.
He put his head forward, and Bethany Ann touched him, and they disappeared. 20 feet below, they reappeared a couple of feet above the ground.
I've got to learn that trick.
John and all the guys jumped down from their pods.
We've got company!
Daryl dodged an arrow that sliced the air where his head had been.
Fuck!
Bethany Ann pulled a pistol as Asher took off toward the temple. She spotted two guards hidden above the entrance. She shot them both. One was only a shoulder wound, so she used another shot to the head to take him out. Silver frangibles for everyone this time. The team ran into the entrance, wondering how long they would have before the Party Smashers would get there. Oh, wait. They were the Party Smashers. Stephanie Lee looked around the table.
We have the first four boxes of parts out of the temple. The remaining 12 need to leave by other routes. Take them north, east, and west. If any are seized, no one can put the technology together. On your family's honor, keep the components safe. We will...
Gunshots reverberated down the hall. She waved to the three kings.
Go! Get your people and take the boxes to safety. I will come to you once we get through the fight with the military. Why they thought they could surprise us, I will never know.
The men left the room, heading further inside the mountain.
That was not wise, trusting them with the components of our ship as you have.
Is there any way for them to put it back together?
Without us? Highly unlikely.
Your species has insufficient intelligence. They would need to read Kertherian to understand how to operate the machine. Enough random button pushing will only cause the machine to lock up for approximately 17 of your days.
Then shut up.
Her father following her, she swept out of the room.
Go see about those noises.
The two guards that had been standing by the room's entrance left quickly. Stephanie Lee, annoyed and impatient, was about to follow the two guards when her father spoke.
We should move to the main sanctuary as our operations command center.
Shots, louder this time, echoed down the stone hallway.
Come, my empress.
Her father turned to follow the hall to the sanctuary. Stephanie Lee grimaced, but followed her father, her robes billowing in the light of the oil lamps. More gunfire came from behind her, and she could hear the prearranged gongs of the temple bells from the western side of the complex, announcing the arrival of the military. But if the military had just been engaged, where had the previous gunshots come from? Bethany Ann, swords at her side, walked quickly and calmly down the hallway. Occasionally, she would hear a pistol shot behind her as John shot into the stone ceiling, showering those nearby with rock chips, allowing the team to pass through intersections easily.
Well, that cuts it. I can hear submachine gun fire. I think our gate crashers have arrived.
Fucking shit! Where's a map when you need one?
I doubt they were thinking about the clueless walk in the hall. We might want to choose a direction for getting more unwanted visitors.
Bethany Ann, use Asher's sense of smell.
If I weren't busy, I'd say thank you. Asher, seek out the path with a lot of sense. We need to find the main worship room.
Shun had barely landed when he heard the staccato gunfire erupt in the night. So much for the element of surprise. He saw Bei and Jian wrapping up their parachutes. Now if he could find Zhu, his team was golden, at least until they received their four scientists. Unfortunately, it had become painfully evident, even to the higher-ranking officers, that having four non-military personnel do a drop at night was tantamount to slitting their own throats. Zhu came up on his left, holding his QBZ-95.
Ready?
Yes. Let's grab Bay and Jack, and make sure we keep the landing zone secured.
Together, the four men looked at each other when the growls of cats filled the night. Each of the men calmly ejected their magazines and pulled out special magazines, inserted them, and cocked their rifles. Shun grimaced, but made a decision. They would need to leave their post and help those up front. Bethany Ann had to put her swords away and pull her pistols when John and Eric took the point. For the last 5 minutes, it had become a target-rich environment as they walked down halls, backtracking once or twice and shooting anyone or anything that tried to slow them down. They didn't shoot to kill, but they didn't worry about sloppy marksmanship either. As long as the people were incapacitated and her team was able to get by, they did. Bethany Ann wasn't here to kill everyone. She only had one person on her mind. As they were crossing a hall, she smelled perfume.
Stop!
The four men kept their eyes focused on their areas. Bethany Ann holstered her pistols and pulled her swords, her eyes already increasing in intensity.
Asher, follow the perfume.
Asher took the lead. Bethany Ann could see the hallway opened into a much bigger, more brightly lit room ahead of them. Two more guards broke from the doorway into the room and started heading in her direction.
Cover your ears, boss.
Bethany Ann allowed John and Eric to pass her. They both pulled their pistols and used headshots. Now, there would be no quarter offered.
John, Eric, you made a mess.
Oh, do we have to clean it up?
No. Messes are the preferred result for tonight.
At that point, a tiger Precalici, probably about John's height, stepped into view and roared a challenge down the hall at them.
B.A.?
Don't shoot him. I need to warm up.
It was now up to the tiger Precalici to protect his clan's honor and their future. He had sacrificed so much getting this far down the clan's path, and his daughter was the chosen one. Now he must fight off these intruders and keep her safe. His empress needed him.
I will protect you, Empress.
He stepped into the doorway and spread his arms. The female in front smiled. Her eyes glowed red and fangs appeared in her mouth. And for once, his Precalici form felt something it had never experienced. Fear. He knew what he was looking at. She was a thing of myth, of legends. She was a vampire. He backed up, and it seemed she was going to accept his challenge, her two swords reflecting the light. She walked into the temple and looked around. Bethany Ann saw Stephanie Lee sitting on a small throne and pointed at her with a sword.
I'll be getting to you in a moment.
She looked and saw three other openings into the room.
Bitches, take a door.
I got this one.
Scott stayed in the doorway they had just come in. Asher stayed with him.
Left.
Close right.
John went silently to the farther door on the right. Bethany Ann stretched her neck left and right as the tiger Precalici looked at the guys, who had weapons drawn.
Don't even think about it. You couldn't change their sheets, much less beat them in a fight.
Then why are you fighting me?
Dude, you're just my warm-up. Are you the main priest?
She moved to her left, holding her swords ready.
Yes.
He decided to ignore the men and watched the vampire.
Then you're the father to this piece of trash?
She is the Empress.
His eyes flared in anger.
She's a trumped-up skank who had to come home to hide with Daddy when her plans all fell apart.
Stephanie Lee's eyes narrowed. She looked at the closest one of Bethany Ann's guards, the tall one on her left. Stephanie could hear fighting from multiple directions. Bethany Ann kept her eye on the tiger Precalici.
So, are you going to fight me or stand there and look pretty?
Then she took the initiative. She came in hard, slashing at him with her right sword. He dodged the first slash and jumped to his left when she came back around with the other sword. He kept on his feet, watching her sword work, looking for an opening. She seemed to stumble, changing styles, and he leaped. He cried out in pain when the first sword pierced his chest. She had played him, waiting for him to move. Her eyes, glowing red, matched the feral grin on her face. She batted his arms away with her other sword, then reversed the blade and slit his throat. Stephanie Lee watched as her father slid down to fall to the ground. His eyes, seeking her out at the end, finally gave her the one thing she had desired her whole life. Connection. Stephanie Lee regarded the arrogant woman staring at her. Her lips turned up.
You peasant! You have no idea of the history, the time this clan has worked to prepare the Earth to rise up.
Bethany Ann kept an eye out for any movement from Stephanie Lee.
You speak as if I should give a shit, Stephanie.
She waved her swords around before setting herself and smiled.
The only thing I care about right now is making damn sure you receive my full retribution for killing my love.
Killing your love?
Stephanie Lee walked to her left and opened up the distance between them.
But do you even care about love? The person you just killed was my father.
Her eyes flashed yellow in the dimness of the temple.
You are nothing but a spoiled little tramp who seeks power and prestige because Daddy didn't love you.
Bethany Ann walked to her right, causing Stephanie Lee to change direction.
You couldn't rule a Girl Scout troop, much less the world, you trumped-up, soiled piece of trash.
She is trying to bait you.
Get her swords away from her. They let her fight you from a distance.
What would you know about leading? You've been given everything, haven't you? Money, companies, even technology. You wouldn't have anyone's love if you weren't powerful. So don't stand there, you hypocritical bitch, and tell me how well I can lead. At least I am willing to fight with what the gods gave me.
Bethany Ann cocked her head and held up her two swords.
This is what scares your pretty little pussycat head? John.
Huh? She tossed her right-hand sword the 30 feet to John, who deftly caught it.
Daryl.
Huh? She threw her other to her left, where Daryl caught it.
So what is your devious plan now that you have me without swords?
Well, it reduces your reach. And unlike my father, I'm not so slow.
She started laughing as her hands morphed into razor-sharp claws, each 5 inches in length. Everyone saw that her feet had grown claws as well. Bethany Ann smiled.
Come here and have a piece of me, you jumped-up, fuck-brained, ugly-ass, butt-sucking piece of trash.
Your people are undisciplined, rude, and immature. You are the most banal of them all. That you have even touched the mind of one of the blessed race is a disgrace I shall rectify.
Oh, God. Did she say Tom is from a blessed race?
Stephanie Lee's furious gaze turned toward John.
Hey, Titless!
Bethany Ann called Stephanie Lee's attention back to her.
You've really gone and fucked up.
She started walking toward the Leopard Empress, the red of her eyes deepening, her face breaking out with red lines of etheric energy, her fangs growing. Stephanie Lee took a step back.
What? What are you?
Are you happy now? You have the full attention of the queen bitch in the flesh. Claws? You think claws are the fucking answer?
Bethany Ann stepped close enough for Stephanie Lee to leap toward her. Ah! Bethany Ann put her arm up, and Stephanie Lee's arm was sliced off as it hit. Her left arm, already swiping down, received the same treatment. Pain screamed in her body as it tried to deal with two stumps.
I'm trying to shut the pain down. What did she just do?
There has to be a way out of this body. If she dies, we die. Fight her!
Fight her, you bitch!
Stephanie Lee ignored the voices in her head as she stared numbly at her two bloody stumps, her body trying to heal enough to stop the bleeding. Bethany Ann was smiling, her fangs fully extended.
I don't need any claws. I am the queen bitch. And my love patiently, lovingly, taught me how to use the etheric, you failed alien genetic experiment.
Bethany Ann lifted her right hand, and Stephanie Lee watched as it changed, growing a copy of her own set of 5-inch nails, razor sharp. The woman in front of her now looked like the goddess of death. Her death.
Stephanie Lee, you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found astastically inadequate. I've been waiting too damn long for this moment. Now die for your sins!
Bethany Ann plunged her clawed hand into Stephanie Lee's chest, easily cutting through the ribs, and ripped out her heart. Looking at her own heart beating in front of her, Stephanie Lee barely heard the faint screams from the aliens inside. She dropped to her knees, the temple swimming in her vision. Bethany Ann stepped to the side and held up a hand. A second later, she caught the sword John tossed to her.
Die, bitch!
The head rolled across the floor, stopping when it bumped against her father's dead body. The architects of 1,000 years of planning the destruction of Earth's freedom were joined together in death. Space Station 1, L2. Keo found himself and his people in the middle of a fight. Fortunately, behind their armor and carapace exoskeleton, they weren't in mortal danger. The defenders were about a head shorter than most of his people. Even so, there were some that were muscular, and a few more that were extremely strong.
Keel, bring me back a sample of one of the aliens with superior strength.
Roylene's voice cut into his focus as he was slowly backing up under the onslaught of an alien with a full-body-sized pole. These types of weapons had not been used in over 15 of his generations, and twice, his armor had saved him from exoskeleton-cracking hits.
Easier said than done, Roylene. I can't implement full armor support or I risk breaking these simple walls. This alien is a demon of speed and has practiced with this. Ouch! You soft skin slake rate.
Keel was able to catch the damned stick in his grip and engage the servo motors on his armor. The alien was stupid enough to hold on, trying to keep his weapon. He bounced off of Keel's armor and fell unconscious to the floor. Keel looked up and saw two new figures.
Females. I want one of those. Bring one, Keel. They hold answers to the genetics of the species and will serve me very well for other research.
One of his team spoke over the comm.
Master Keel, we have subjugated and captured a male species.
Coach saw John go down right when he heard Ray Lee behind him.
That's my friend, motherfucker!
Didn't I tell you two not to come down here?
Didn't you know it was useless to stop an ex-cop from trying to help? What are you, a misogynist?
What is it doing?
Ray Lee and Bree noticed the alien turn toward them.
Shit, it found what it wanted.
What's that?
Women!
Coach moved between the alien and the women.
I'm not a fucking misogynist, I'm practical. You are a glorified research bug at the moment, so get the fuck out of here. Go!
Coach and Adarsh went after the alien together. Ray Lee had to agree with Coach this time. She and Bree had quickly attracted the alien's attention when they arrived in his field of view. Making a decision, she grabbed Bree's arm.
Let's go!
Keel blocked a simple stick attack by the bigger defender. The one on his right slashed down with a knife. The blade caught a softer part of his suit. Keel whipped his servo arm out and hit Adarsh, sending him bouncing and rolling. Keel started walking in the direction the females had gone when a staff was used to hit him in his helmet. It didn't break anything, but the loud crack was disconcerting. Coach heard the two women's steps as they left the fight. He didn't doubt the two had courage, but there was no reason to leave the tasty chocolate out to entice the uninvited guests. His batter-up effort didn't do a damned thing. Adarsh had just scored a good hit with his knife. Good if one assumed the alien's response pointed to some success. But Adarsh was out of this fight. Coach saw John was getting up from behind the alien, his healing ability helping him, and three others were now causing a problem for the other alien. Using the opportunity Adarsh created, Coach turned his quarterstaff and jabbed it for all he was worth right at the shield over what he assumed was its face. The gold reflective coating scratched just a little. But oh boy, he got the alien's attention.
Come here, let's talk about this like civilized beings, you fucking ground pounder!
Jensen got his head on straight, which is to say eyes open and figuring out what was going on. He heard Coach yelling behind him and turned toward the back of the alien that had clocked him a good one. He could feel the blood along his scalp and in his hair. Jensen started an attack from behind the alien that Coach was trying to slow down. In a split second, the alien turned and surprised him with a mechanical enhanced attack that cracked through his helmet and hit his skull hard enough to crush it.
Oh.
Keel yanked his hand out of the defender's helmet. Organic matter splattered all over his hand.
Alien brains. Disgusting.
Gabrielle had moved to Bethany Ann's chair on the bridge of the Archangel.
Ben, this is Gabrielle. We are taking two of our pods and sending them out toward the unknown vessel. Do not try to override any programming.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your status?
Ma'am, we are fighting large bipedal creatures that are in armor. We don't have decent weaponry up here that we can use without possible decompression. So we're fighting with sticks, basically. The aliens are also fighting with similar weapons. I don't know if that's because they worry about the walls getting hold, or we are just no challenge to them. The armored aliens are easily a match for our Vexel bulk with simple weapons.
Understood. Hold on, SS-1. Archangel will be coming around the moon and visible in 2 minutes.
Kicking ass and taking names, Archangel. SS-1 out.
Malorn looked at Captain Chamon.
Captain, we have an incoming vessel. Just arrived on sensors, sir. It is big.
Big? Show me.
Malorn called up the specifications and shot them to the captain's data grids.
What is this?
He pointed to the information Malorn had provided.
Roylene, this is no ship we have seen before.
Roylene looked at the information.
That ship is pushed by advanced gravitics, Captain Chamon. I can't be sure right this second, but that could be Cartherian technology. Old, perhaps, but it is very possible.
Shayach!
Captain Chamon slammed his arm down and hit the communication button.
Keel, recall your team. Take what you can and pull back. We have new information. Pull back now!